Hi, I'm Michael Cashew.
And I'm Adi Cashew, and you're listening to the WAG podcast. This podcast is about health, wellness, and personal development.
Each episode is a short conversation between Adi and I on a single topic with actionable steps. We cover everything from food, mindset, fitness, and relationships.
We started WAG because of the way health and fitness changed our lives, so we hope to share a tool or two that helps you along your way. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Adi.
Today, we are here to talk about a really important topic and something that has been super prevalent in both of our lives. And I know something that so many people deal with. So I'm pretty excited about it because I really hope that it creates positive change for a lot of people listening today.
What is it? I'm on the edge of my seat.
We're talking about stress and anxiety and overwhelm. So the feelings of overwhelm, stress, and anxiety, how to deal with them, how to think about them, and our own personal experiences in continuing to try and overcome them. And we're finishing each other's sentences. Before we start and get into this topic, I want to remind you guys that we are wanting to really interact with you guys in a different way, and we would love to hear from you. Any topics that you want to hear us talk about, any questions that you have for us, maybe you have a specific question about your life and something that you're going through, we would love to answer that for you, talk about it on the podcast, and see how other people can learn from that as well. We have a really great vision for this podcast of being something that is a community-driven show. So we want it to be really practical and applicable to you. So we need you to help us do that. And we would love to have you help us do that. So send us an email to info@workingagainstgravity.com, info@workingagainstgravity.com, and send us any topics or questions that you have for us.
Boom.
Okay. So let's talk about stress, overwhelm, and anxiety.
Yeah, let's. So you've gone from when we first met, I would say you were at a constant 6 or 7 out of 10.
I used to say that, I think I was
anxiety.
I was like, I operate at 7 out of 10 anxiety constantly.
Yeah.
And for me, that felt like this like constant buzzing in the back of my mind that was always there. And it was just like the state of being that, like, the best way for me to describe it is like a buzzing, as well as like I was nervous, a little nervous all the time, but not sure what I was nervous about.
And then anytime something unexpected would come up, or anytime you and I would get in an argument, you were just very, very quick to escalate up to like an 8, 9, or 10 level and have some sort of like mini meltdown and freak out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Over the past 4.5 years, I've seen you go from that to someone who is highly, highly skilled at managing your own emotions and managing your own stress and overwhelm. So how have you done that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth noting that I grew up in a family that was just loud and yelled. And whether we were loving on each other, hating on each other, everything was just loud. Everything escalated really quickly. And I think there was like a little constant anxiety in the house all the time. Mm-hmm. Like that's just like the state that I grew up in. So it's still something that I am working on. It's something that like people that are close to me and interact with me a lot in my life know that it's like one of the biggest things that I'm working on is the managing and regulating my own emotions so that I don't overboil. Like,
right.
You know, when a pot's on the stove and the water starts to boil over, I'm like wanting to be conscious and aware of that all the time. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely really improved since you first met me, for sure. I mean, even little things, I think people could probably resonate with this example. If you live a life that's at all close to me, is something happens to you, like a thing you bought doesn't work, or a flight gets changed, or something unexpected happens with like a customer service scenario.
So when you're a consumer
and something unexpected happens, maybe a repairman's supposed to come and he doesn't show up, and it inconveniences you to some degree. It feels like it's a bigger inconvenience than it probably actually is, my reaction, because of my constant state of overwhelm and anxiety, was I didn't have enough room to be less reactive. It would just boil me over immediately. So I would yell. I would get so rude. I would be so disrespectful to people on the phone, thinking I was like entitled and righteous and like, I get what I want and you're so wrong for this experience happening. And I don't do that anymore. I can now have more space in my life to just like let those situations happen and know that it happens and people are human and I don't have to let it completely ruin my day. So that's like where I've gone from and gotten to. And how did that question was, how did this happen?
Yeah. What are some of the biggest things that you think you do today that allow you to operate at a, you know, 2 or 3 out of 10 and manage yourself?
Yeah. A couple really big things. The first one is having some type of practice where I sit with my own thoughts. That can look like meditation, like seated meditation. I did Headspace for a really long time and committed to doing like 30 days straight of Headspace. Also, sometimes it just looks like if I'm making coffee, I'll just like stand at the coffee and just not look at my phone and just focus on my breath. As many reps as I can get of that throughout the day really, really helps me for the situations when I'm less in control of just being in that reactive state. Just throughout the day, like just taking a second to like take 5 deep breaths. I remember someone telling me to do that in the shower, like every time I would shower, to like in the shower take 8 deep breaths. And that has been like tremendously life-changing. And I know that sounds sometimes like no way that could make that big of a difference. Like if you've never felt the difference that that could make, then it's really hard to believe that that could make that big of a difference. And it's actually really subtle. So it's not like going to the gym and doing a workout and feeling the pain in your muscles and knowing that something's happening. It's very subtle. It's more like the next time a situation happens, it's not as strong. And it's hard to notice that kind of a change. But I had heard from so many people in my life that this was a, like breath work, meditation, being in silence, be sitting with your own thoughts, like just having enough space to notice how much was going on in my mind helped me bring that awareness to like calm myself down. So that was like a huge change. I think another big change too was just saying it out loud, like telling the people in my life that were getting affected by it that this is not a way I wanted to be and it's something that I was working on. I'm someone who does really well with external accountability. So other people knowing that this is something I'm working on and then they can't help but notice when I freak out or like I have anxiety, then like A, giving them permission to call me out. Like I know some people listening might think this is like not the best way for you to handle it. But for me, if I'm like getting like more and more anxious and I'm getting louder and louder and louder, if Michael looks at me and he just like moves his hand in a way that's like, you know, lower down, like lower down the volume, like he shakes his hand that way, I immediately am like, okay, okay, cool. And then like calm down a little bit. So giving other people in my life permission to call me out like that in wait and telling them how it would be the best way to do that for me has really helped. And it's also given them the awareness to praise me when I do better, which is so motivating for me. Like I've had—
Which I did yesterday too.
Yeah,
you did it. Because you had a customer service experience where 99 out of 100 people would have been very, very angry. I can't even remember what it was, but they would have been very angry. They wasted your time on 2 or 3 different phone calls and you were very sweet about
Instacart.
It. Yeah, and you didn't treat the person on the other end like it was their fault or that they're wrong or anything. So you did a great job.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, and I've had a couple moments where, you know, some of our coworkers like point out to me, hey, I was really nervous about bringing this situation to you because I was nervous about the way that you were going to react. And I like really appreciate that you were calm. And I mean, that is like the best gift I could possibly get to continue to try and regulate myself. Yeah.
Yeah. One other huge one, maybe the biggest one that has really impacted both of us, has been becoming more aware of the stories that are going on in your head. So everybody can relate to this, whether you realize it or not, but we create stories about things that happened in our life. There is what happened, and then there's the story that we create about what happened. And mm-hmm. a lot of times we're blaming other people for what happens in our life, and we're blaming them for the way that we feel, mm-hmm. and we're blaming them for our stress and anxiety and fear. And through doing events like the Landmark Forum and doing a lot of personal development work and having a lot of really tough conversations, you have taken accountability for your entire life. You've taken full accountability for your own emotions and how your actions affect how you feel. Mm-hmm. And you've shown so much courage in just taking accountability for everything in your life, which is super, super uncomfortable at times. But then it leaves you with the power to change and have influence over this stress and anxiety.
And I think it's important to like note, and it brings us into our next point. Well, I appreciate that you noticed that, first of all. It feels good to hear you say that. But it brings us to our next point is a lot of this too was I had you as an example. So part of what made me fall in love with you so quickly was your ability to be calm and just like you are consistently described as a calming energy. Like just having you around, I think there is like the power of like someone's energy or like the way that they carry themselves. Like I think I carry myself in an anxious kind of way. And people could feel that when they're around me, whether I'm talking or not talking or no matter what. Your energy is completely different. Like you are very calming. You are very rational. You are so kind and you are better at differentiating the story from what happened, or just at least being surrendering to the situation, just being like okay with how things go. And I think having that example around me all the time really helped me to get to where I am right now. So how have you become like that? Were you always like that? Tell us the secrets.
Okay, guys, write this down. So as you started talking about your family, I'll do the same. And I think that we've talked about this so much, but my family is the opposite in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very quiet, calm household. One of the things that I think we struggled with as a family is like really bringing up hard conversations and talking about what was going on. But on the positive side, we didn't fight hardly ever. And it was very quiet. And my dad is a pretty like stoic person. So I think I learned a little bit of that energy from him mm-hmm. to just be quiet and listen to people, et cetera. But because I had no idea how to express my emotions at all, I held a lot of anger and shame and fear as a kid. And when it came out, it would just come out in these enormous bursts of fury, of sadness, of just like breaking down. The only emotions I would allow myself to show were like kind of just a low-level happiness or anger, because anger is like, I thought that was still manly. I couldn't show joy. I couldn't show sadness, no embarrassment, no fear, absolutely no fear. And the only time I would allow myself to even feel them and not bottle them up was alone in my bathroom with the doors locked. And I would break down and I would just sob. And this happened all the time. I'm not sure if I've talked about this on this podcast yet, but I battled addiction as a teenager. And so I started to do things that created a lot of shame. And so these times kept happening more and more and more, where I would lock myself in my bathroom and I would just sob. And so, no, I definitely wasn't always super calm.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't always that way. You did get some of the calming energy from your family. Mm-hmm. So what changed and how did you start? Because I definitely, by the time we met, you already were very, very much in control of regulating yourself better than anyone I had ever met. Mm-hmm. What changed? How did you think about stress and anxiety? And like, what were some of the tools that you had to overcome it?
I think the process that I went through was that had an impact on me was going through a lot of group therapy, where I got to practice expressing my emotions over and over and over. And I made a lot of mistakes. I remember I made this decision right when I got into the therapeutic process, into rehab, that I was going to become the wise person now. And that's how I was going to kind of get through life. And so all of a sudden, anger was no longer something I thought was appropriate to share with people, because that's not kind, that's not wise. And so I remember I didn't express any anger whatsoever, despite being just furious that my parents had sent me away to rehab, and especially that they had sent me away for so long. I was just so furious. And I didn't express any of that for like 9 months. And then I was sitting in group therapy one time, and I just blew up on every single person. I went, F you, F you, F you, you're cool, F you, F you. There was one guy. His name was Brandon, and he was my boy. But I mother effed every single person in the group because I had just bottled it up for so long.
And what a recipe to feel stress, anxiety, and overwhelm is bottling up. Bottling up your emotions.
Exactly. And those guys just received it, and they told me how that made them feel, and they didn't make me feel like I was crazy. They accepted me even though I had, you know, express myself in that way. And so I got the chance to practice a lot. So that was the biggest one. I also did a lot of meditation. So I started meditating when I was in my second rehab center. I was still in high school. So I had school part of the day. And I would remember we could take like little breaks from school. And I would sit down on the floor and I would close my eyes and I would just think about how much I hated everyone there and how much I wanted to get out. But I just kept trying and I kept trying and I kept trying. And over time, I started to see this little benefit from meditating, where whenever I was out of meditation, I would see my thought. Mm-hmm. And that was like a crazy experience. I would see it rather than just having the thought and immediately reacting. Mm-hmm. So I could see the thought, I hate being here, blah, 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 blah. And then I could challenge the thought and ask myself, well, do I hate everything about it? Or are there things that I love about being here?
You created like a little bit of space for yourself.
A little bit of space.
To contemplate the thought.
Right. And that's one of the biggest goals of meditation in the first place, is to create a gap between our thoughts and our emotions and
our reactions.
Mm-hmm. And so I started to be able to do that and not be completely swept away by all of the emotions that were going on in me. And so those were two of the biggest ones. Before I get into today, I think that through the therapeutic process, I had most of the tough conversations that I needed to have in my life, and I cleaned up all of the skeletons in the closet. I think that one of the biggest things that cause people stress, anxiety, and overwhelm are that they have really big things weighing on them that are taking up bandwidth in their mind that they don't even know, right? They have a brother or sister that they haven't talked to in months that, you know, and they're holding resentment, or they feel embarrassed about something that they did at work, and they're not having a conversation with their boss or their colleague. There's something, most people have this, there's something that's taking up bandwidth in their head, some tough conversation that they're not having that they need to be having. And me going through rehab and recovery, it almost forced me to have all of those conversations.
Totally. Yeah.
And after rehab, I spent 5 years without a drop of alcohol, no drugs whatsoever. And I was Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous was my absolute biggest focus. Mm-hmm. I focused on recovery just like I did training for the games and just like I have building businesses. It was everything to me. And I didn't think about this until we literally started having this conversation. I think what's allowed me to continue having those tough conversations so proactively still to this day is, I think it's the 9th step in Alcoholics Anonymous. And it says when we make mistakes, we make amends quickly. Mm-hmm. And at the time, like, that was my Bible. For 5 years, the Alcoholics Anonymous 12 steps was my Bible. Yeah. Like, those were my commandments. And so anytime I did something selfish, or I treated a girl, I felt like I was using a girl, or I treated someone improperly, or I took my emotions out on someone. I was really quick to make amends.
Yeah.
And it was like really sloppy at times and messy and uncomfortable, but I was very, very quick to have the tough conversation so that it didn't weigh on me.
And it's something that I've mentioned this a lot of times. You are one of the only people I know that has completed all of the tough things that have happened in their life, like most of the tough things that have happened in your life. And there's so few relationships in your life where you're not sure whether you've like expressed yourself appropriately, taken accountability for the things that you've done. And through all this work that you've done, you can now like go about life without, we have like this anxiety bucket. And like that emotion exists, that feeling exists within us. And there's this bucket where we have like a capacity of what, how much we can handle before the bucket can't hold anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Completing these things and doing all this work that you're talking about has made it so that your bucket is like very close to empty. So you have a lot of space to take on the things that are inevitably going to happen, like the failures in business, mm-hmm. or the tragic moments in life that none of us can avoid, whether it's death or illness, mm-hmm. or betrayal or anything like that. And it gives you so much more space to be able to not just have the water overflow in the bucket and then being able to like make that amends really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And when I met you, it was so inspiring to me that I was like, I don't think I have to become a heroin addict and go through all of this therapy and do everything that you had to do in order to have the same benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for anyone listening to this, you can feel the exact same way. Like being able to go to therapy or meditate or to have really tough conversations is not limited just to people that have hit rock bottom or people that feel like they need to do that. You will benefit from that regardless of where you're at in your life. And the whole thing about resentment and the I've like definitely done this. I mean, anybody who I've had this conversation with you, I have gone back all the way back to like moments in my childhood, like gone back to these people and just been like, hey, remember this time that I was a bad friend to you in this particular way? I really just want to take accountability for that and let you know that that's not the kind of person that I am. I've grown since then and I now see that I could have been a better person and just take accountability for it. There's never a time that a human being will read that and think poorly of you for apologizing and taking accountability. And regardless of how they react, if they ignore you, they respond poorly, they accept it, you're going to feel better getting that off your chest. Because when you're feeling that resentment, someone once said to me, resentment is like drinking poison and hoping the other person is going to die. They don't know that you're thinking about them. They don't know you're having those negative feelings. You're the only one who is suffering from that.
Mm-hmm.
And relieving yourself of that is like one of the more inspiring things about you. Like, example, you're friends with your ex-girlfriends. Like that to me is like goals. Like I'm like, I'm like, what? Like, how is this possible? And even if they've ended in like really poor ways, you've cleaned it up to the point where you don't have that like pending thinking about them, that like attention that is going to those ex relationships that could be going to things that are in your life right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is like incredibly inspiring. I love you for that.
Thank you.
I love that I have you as the example.
Thank you.
For me and our future children. Okay. So for people that are listening,
I've got some tactical ones.
Yeah. Let's do some tactical tools that people can use to help them manage the stress, mm-hmm. overwhelm, and anxiety they're feeling.
So the way that I think about it today is all of the things that we just discussed, but also I feel like I have to be taking care of the bottom of the pyramid when it comes to health, which is sleep, nutrition, and exercise. If any one of those three things are not aligned and I'm not putting energy into those,
the bucket starts filling up.
Yeah, I know from my experience that the bucket starts filling up and it's a recipe for feeling stressed out and anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the biggest one might be sleep. It's the least sexy thing to talk about, but the research is really converging now, which means a lot of the scientists are agreeing with each other about this, in that we need 8 to 9 hours of sleep, and there are very few exceptions. Every now and then there's a person that has basically a different genetic makeup, but those people are very, very rare. Mm-hmm. Most of us need 8 to 9 hours of sleep. So you and I give ourselves 8 to 9 hours of sleep. I used to be really strict with the time of day that I would wake up. And regardless of what time I went to sleep, I would wake up at like 5 a.m., maybe 6 a.m. And that led to me having this like even longer morning routine than I have currently. And, you know, I felt really proud about that. But then I was also becoming more and more drained, because a lot of times I wasn't going to bed until 11, 11:30, and I only had 6.5 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. So today, the rule that I do not break is I don't get less than 8 to 9 hours of sleep. So I don't get to do the full morning routine every single morning, but I get the full amount of sleep. So mm-hmm. my batteries are completely recharged, and then I have enough energy for everything that I want to do in life. The other one you sort of touched on already, which is personal space. So I've realized in the past, I think, year, that before the past year, pretty much every moment of my life, I felt like I was plugged in some way. I was plugged into technology, into podcasts, into audiobooks. I was consuming some sort of information. And what I've started to do is, when I start to feel stressed out or overwhelmed at all, like one of the things I'll do is, if I'm driving, I will intentionally not put on any music or podcast or audiobooks, and just allow my brain to just process everything that's going on. And I'm not intentionally like
thinking about things.
I'm just letting my brain sort of decompress, right, and just be quiet. Mm-hmm. And it's had a huge effect. I've gone on more walks with no AirPods in. Mm-hmm. I've just sat on the porch occasionally. I've always been really into meditating, but now I write way more. So again, that's another way to just express what's in my mind rather than consuming something that someone else has created. And it's been enormous. And also just having space just to hang out with myself has been huge. It is decompressing to hang out with you or to hang out with other people sometimes, but I also have this need to spend time with just myself from time to time. And so mm-hmm. I give myself way more of that.
And that is a big one. I mean, the spending time by yourself, that's one that you've really taught me. And I know it's a question I get all the time on social media. So maybe we can like hash it out just like very quickly in this moment. But a question I get all the time is, usually the person in the relationship that is the I person, sometimes it's the person that's the we person. So the person in the relationship who wants to spend more time by themselves mm-hmm. versus the person in the relationship that's more focused on spending time together.
And most relationships have
one
both.
Or the other. Yeah. So the independent person usually reaches out and says, how can I explain to my partner that this is beneficial for both of us? Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure how we did that. Like, I'm not sure, totally sure. I think that there were moments of like, it was just like, you said it was something that you needed and I wanted to give you what you needed, and I had such uncomfortable feelings around it, and then went through it and realized it wasn't that big of a deal, and you were very soft, and it was never like a, it was never about me. It was always focused around you and the relationship. So that really helped
about
allowing you to take space and not making that
about
me.
There was also a part of the conversation was also about me really encouraging you to develop your individuality, because mm-hmm. I saw that as a huge benefit and something that was really underdeveloped in you. Mm-hmm. And like, for instance, like, you didn't have a lot of deep friendships. You didn't even want to do have your own hobbies mm-hmm. outside of hanging out with me. And I just knew that I had this vision of you just having these incredible relationships and doing things on your own and feeling no negativity whatsoever totally. About it. So I saw it as a huge win-win. And so I think I nudged you repeatedly, and then also didn't rarely, if ever, shamed you for not like already being exactly how
right.
I wanted you to be.
Yeah. And that, for anyone listening, if that helps you, if you're in a relationship that taking space to yourself might be really difficult mm-hmm. Or painful for one person or the other, that has been really, really helpful for me and for you. I mean, it's reduced my stress and anxiety so much because I was so uncomfortable at the beginning when I would have to be alone. Mm-hmm. Like just being alone was so painful. And now you just went away for 4 or 5 days and we barely spoke when you were away. And I was like, oh my God, like I've like got so much to do. I can't I don't even have time to think about
you. Huge transformation. So two other quick things. One is it's similar to having tough conversations. It's basically just expressing how you're feeling. So I think one reason that it takes people so long to get through negative emotions is that they hold it all in themselves and they just don't express it to other people. So when you do that, you're being really inauthentic to yourself. You're not honoring your own emotions and you're sort of telling yourself that you shouldn't feel this way. Mm-hmm. You're sort of telling yourself that it's not okay to feel the things that you're feeling. And so one thing that I think both of us do really, really well, starting with our relationship, but then moving out into our other close relationships, is we just express when we're feeling stressed, overwhelmed, sad, afraid, angry, et cetera. So if I'm feeling that way, you support me, you accept me. And if I'm feeling like really afraid about something, you send me some message that says, thank you for sharing. I still love you. And you don't try to fix me.
That's
and you
just a huge accept one. It. The not trying to fix, I think, is really, really hard and also really important. Mm-hmm. Being able to share without this, like, knowing that the other person's going to try and fix you and give you advice, it makes it harder to share. If I think I'm going to share that I'm feeling stressed and anxious and then you're always going to come back with some way to fix it, it's harder for me to share because sometimes I just don't want to hear that. Like, mm-hmm. I just want you to accept that that's how I'm feeling right now and just know
right.
that's how I'm feeling. So not trying to fix somebody and letting them, or at least asking like, hey, can I tell you what I think about it mm-hmm. or my opinion on it? And then giving that person the opportunity to say no and telling them you are allowed to say no, like, right. and I can just be here for you. And then you'll start to learn more when you should say something and when you shouldn't. When you right. get to, you'll more it happens, the more you'll be able to feel it out. Knowing that I can tell you how I feel without you trying to fix me is a gift.
Word. And then finally, I think a lot about what is inside and outside of my control. So there are two different categories that everything in life, or three different categories that everything in life falls in. One is things that are completely outside of our control, like the weather, or if you're in business, like what the market does, or if you compete in a sport, how your competitors compete. All of those are completely outside of your control. Things that are entirely inside of your control are your attitude, the way that you respond to a conversation, the actions that you take, et cetera.
Would partly inside of your control would be like the success of your business?
Absolutely.
Yeah? So like, because you have to work hard and you have to like put effort towards it, but you're also kind of not in control of the market. So
right.
you can't really know that your business is going to be successful, but it's partly inside of your control.
Exactly. And I think when people get really stressed out and overwhelmed, a lot of times it's because we're focusing on things that are completely outside of our control. So if I spend all of my time, you know, searching through Instagram, looking at my competitors, if I'm an athlete, looking at my competitors and wondering, you know, what workout they're doing or worrying about them hitting a PR, I'm literally just focusing on something that I have zero influence over whatsoever.
And
I'm wasting time, wasting energy.
There's less energy to go towards the things that you do have control over.
Exactly. So first off, noticing when I'm focused on things that are outside of my control is really helpful. And then secondly, when I notice, just focus on, okay, what is the action I can take right now to move me toward my goal and whatever domain I'm working on at the time?
Awesome.
So
yeah,
that's another one.
I love that. To close off the episode, we just went through a bunch of tactical things that you can do to help reduce your stress and anxiety. I wouldn't try and do them all at once. Just like pick one at a time if this is like all new to you. What do you think, as we close out, is like the biggest mistake that people are making when it comes to stress, anxiety, and overwhelm?
I think the biggest mistake people make is they get really aggressive with themselves. If they're stressed out, they try to like control what's going on, and they try to like kick stress's ass, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I think that
kick stress's ass. I like that.
In my experience, that's like the opposite of what we really need. When we're stressed and overwhelmed, we feel like we need to move faster. And while that may be true, I think the way to move faster a lot of times is to slow down for a second, mm-hmm. to give ourselves space to have the conversations we need to have, which is going to in turn free up so much energy and allow us to just perform at our best.
I'm going to like highlight that for a second, because in order to move faster, sometimes you do have to move slower. So when you were coaching Brooke Entz for the CrossFit Games in 2015, you were coaching her, and I remember you would always tell her something like smooth is fast. Mm-hmm. And I think it was around double unders. Like she would have some anxiety and stress around double unders. And when she would do the jump rope and she would do her double unders, when that stress and anxiety would come in, she would go like almost go faster, like try to do it harder, do it more. And instead, in order to actually accomplish and succeed and move forward, slowing down and relaxing and surrendering a little bit was the answer to eventually being able to get faster. And I think that happens in so many areas of our life. It's like, okay, I'm going to be late for something. I'm going to start rushing to get ready. Therefore, I'm going to start making lots of mistakes. I'm going to make a wrong turn. I'm going to put the wrong address in my GPS. I'm not going to like pay attention to the little details, when actually, if I want to get there as soon as possible, slowing down is the answer.
100%.
And it's so contradictory, but that is huge for sure.
Love it. So let's wrap this up.
Okay.
Today, we talked about a lot of different ways to overcome stress and anxiety. We talked about having tough conversations, identifying stories you have in your head that have to do with like blaming others, and really taking accountability for your part. And having those tough conversations, I think, can be one of the biggest ways to release a lot of energy and reduce all of that stress and anxiety.
Meditation,
creating space for yourself just to spend time alone with your own thoughts.
Therapy.
We talked about therapy. We talked about
journaling,
identifying what is inside and outside of your control. Mm-hmm. And also, when you're feeling like you should move fast, slow it down for just a second and make sure you know where you're going first.
Yeah. I hope you guys have a more relaxing rest of your day with less stress, anxiety, and overwhelm.
Later, guys.
Thanks for joining us. Stay in touch by signing up for our newsletter at workingagainstgravity.com or on Instagram at workingagainstgravity.
And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and refer a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode. Talk to you then.